The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
So John Fox says he's as encouraged as he's been since his Bears tenure as head coach began 3 years ago. He likes what he's seen this offseason, and the offseason program officially ended today up at Halas Hall. Next up, training camp July 26 in Bourbonnais. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So's former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you aboard. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Things ended today with the conclusion of mandatory minicamp. Basically, the Bears practiced for 2 days. Today they had a walkthrough, and John Fox was so happy with the way the Bears performed this offseason that he rewarded them by giving them the day off after that walkthrough. They didn't have to practice today. What did you see, Tom, in the 2 days of practice that would lead John Fox to be encouraged by what's transpired?
You have to look at the running back position, Jordan Howard specifically. You have to look at the offensive line and the development of Charles Leno Jr., Bobby Massey, what Josh Sitton, Kyle Long, 65.
Cody Whitehair
is going to give
Tom's
you.
Tom's a numbers guy.
Right. You have to think about the tight end position and where this tight end position could be with Deion Sims, with Adam Shaheen, with Zach Miller as he gets healthier and the rest of the guys out there competing. I see speed at the receiver position. You talk about Marcus Wheaton. You talk about Victor Cruz, guys like that. So on the offensive side of the ball, there are significant signs that you got to be encouraged about. Now you get Jeremy Langford to boost that running back position. You get Cohen in there to be the type of weapon that you envision him being in terms of his side, his speed, his elusiveness, and those types of things.
They call the position a joker back, where you can function as a regular running back. You can also come out of the backfield, catch the ball. There are a lot of options and mismatches.
Right. Is if you put him in the right matchup against a guy that doesn't have the athleticism to cover him, that doesn't have the speed to stick with him, then all of a sudden, boom, you're identifying a weapon out there that you can put him in the game with Jordan Howard in the game. And then you got Victor Cruz, and you have these other receivers we talked about with speed. You got to like what you see out of Kevin White the entire course of OTAs and minicamp.
Can you help describe for people, because they haven't really seen Kevin White on the field. He's only played 4 games in his Bears career, and we know the injury the first year. Last year was a freak football thing. A guy landed on his leg. That happens, unfortunately. But you can't help, and I'm talking as a guy who never played football, watching Kevin White, you can't help but notice him. Because of his physique, because of his speed. But as a player, what do you see?
Well, you got Victor Cruz, who shows significant speed to get away from defensive backs, get himself into space, and identify himself as a target either on the outside or the inside of the defense. When you look at Kevin White, if they come up and try to play press coverage against him, he's big enough and strong enough to beat immediate press coverage. If they want to have a relaxed coverage against him, he has the speed to run by him. Then he's got the basketball ability to use his size to get in to be an efficient target to a quarterback. So it is about Kevin White being on the field. The reason he was a first-round draft choice is he showed all the signs throughout his college career, at the combine, in all the evaluation processes he's gone through. So, you put all these offensive pieces in place. If you have an efficient play out of the quarterback, you're talking about weapons out there that can be used in a multiple, ways for an offense.
Yeah, Mike Glennon talked about how he feels because of the Bears tight ends, and they've got some big guys that have a size speed combination that is the envy of a lot of people, that they can create mismatches with the tight end position, Zach Miller and Adam Shaheen and Deion Sims, as well as the running back position like you talked about. But let's get to the fun stuff, because you got the quarterback here, and the quarterback story, Jim, is going to be the big story when the Bears head down to Bourbonnais. But before we get to how you think this is going to play out, John Fox revealed that the Bears are one of 7 or 8 teams in the entire National Football League that are now using virtual reality equipment in order to help these quarterbacks get extra reps. Now, I know you travel to all these different training camp sites throughout the league. Have you seen this technology, and what does it do? As a guy who watched tape for a living and played and did all the things a quarterback needs to do to succeed, would this virtual reality stuff have helped you out?
Yeah, and I've interviewed the guy that came up with the technology who went to Stanford. Believe it or not. And a lot of teams have bought into it. This is something that it started about 4 to 5 years ago, and teams are dabbling in it more and more. And I don't want to switch topics too quick because I want to go back to some of the things you said in your opening about the reward of not practicing the last day, kind of a walkthrough. We'll get to that in just a moment. But this virtual reality stuff, to me, it's cutting edge. It's great to hear that the Bears are doing this. Why? Because of all the things, the work week that we talk about and how it's limited with the new CBA. So now think of Dow Loggins can go into the meeting room, and let's say if Mark Sanchez or Mitchell Trubisky, they can go through a virtual reality practice and go through the same script that the starter Mike Glennon just went through. What's your decision on this play? You know, versus the coverage, the front, the linebackers, the drops, how everything is shown. And then you can actually chart and evaluate the backup quarterback to evaluate their decisions. Then you as a coach can understand if you're sitting in the pocket and you're looking at the quarterback, you're seeing it from his eye perspective. Oh, I can see why he made that decision because maybe the left guard got pushed back into the quarterback's face. Or the quarterback, you could evaluate, he needs to step up when the pocket is going around him, and you can evaluate those type of skill sets of a quarterback. This is great technology because now a backup who doesn't get the reps as a starter truly can be evaluated as a starter with every script that the starter is going through all week in practice. As soon as the practice is over, hey, number two, you're in the meeting room. We want you to go through the script on virtual reality, and you'll be able to evaluate how the backup is performing in practice, if he's making the right decisions, if he's making the right reads,
yeah,
if he's making the right audibles.
What about footwork? What about throwing motion?
That's all. Those are all, a lot of that is done during the individual drills. But even the quarterback in that virtual reality, they're going to be going through those things. You're going to see the quarterback, he'll be able to step up and do all those things, is my take on it from what I was told about this technology. So you will get an honest evaluation. Is the quarterback shuffling up? Is he sliding to his right? Is he bailing from the pocket? Is he checking to the right audible versus the blitz that he's seen? You'll be able to evaluate all that and understand that, hey, the backup is really just running the same script as the starter rather than just getting the mental reps. How does a coach know what the mental reps? We all trust a player like Tom did it. I did it. I forced myself to do it because it was important. And if you're worth your salt, you're going to do the mental reps. With virtual reality, you can actually test it and evaluate it of what your backup is doing.
Hey, Jim, you know what? One thing about quarterbacks I always remembered throughout my career is their hours they spent memorizing the terminology, repeating it to themselves, so they know what they're saying, they know what it means to everybody in the huddle. When you have this virtual reality, do you still kind of keep that verbal improvement going where even though you're watching it on the headset you have, you still have to be verbalizing what you're calling, what you're saying, what you should say to yourself and those types of corrections?
No, I agree. I think to me, the minute you hear a play, it should come up in your mind like a blueprint of like building a house or a plumbing blueprint, however you want to how to look at it. But it should be a blueprint where you see everything. All right, let's go east, right, 772 X shallow cross, east, right, close, 772 X shallow cross on 101. Boom, I'm thinking right away. Z's on my post, X is on my shallow cross, my Y's on my in cut. Fullbacks free releasing to the flat and then wheeling up the sideline. Back is checking weak side, Will Backer, the halfback is, and then checking front side, Sam Backer, Mike to Sam, and then checking over the ball, and he'd be my third read. So it should just pull up in your mind like a blueprint, and you should be able to see the play And then you can actually feel it unfold when you're actually running the play at the line of scrimmage.
If you're stuck in traffic right now and you're listening to Jim spit out plays, like, I don't know how you aren't fired up about Bourbon A coming just around the corner, July 26th. Oh, man, I'm ready to talk some football. Let's take a break when we come back, because there's a lot of other technology that the Bears are now using during their practices, and I want to break it all down. How is that going to help make them a better football team? We'll discuss next. Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in a PNC Chicago Bears 5K Saturday, June 24th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaveman. We're also joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Jim was not finished talking. He had a lot of stuff to say, because when we started the show, we mentioned how the Bears cut their practice short today as a reward for the players and the participation that they had this offseason and the way they performed out on the practice field. What triggered in your mind, Jim?
Well, not so much as it's concerns for the Bears, because I think the Bears have had a great offseason. You know, in terms of their acquisitions, the participation of players, you know, everybody that has shown up and want to be a part of it, because it's a competitive atmosphere. But if you look at the NFL as a whole and you look at all the stories that are out there, you know, I was on a veteran team in Pittsburgh where, you know, our last mini camp, our veteran mini camp, yeah, we took the second practice off. Bill Cowher could do that because we are a veteran team. Or say a team like this year, Green Bay, who says, hey, we're resting our six key guys, whether it's Clay Matthews or Aaron Rodgers. I think we all get it. That system's not changing. Those guys are great players. They want to take a look at backups, Brent Hundley, and see what the other players could do. The Bears don't have that luxury. But, you know, it's, I don't know, I'd like to get Tom's opinion on this, because it's almost like the players expect it. Like, oh, what's coach going to do? Are we going to go to a movie? Are we getting some time off? I don't know. I just don't think it's too much to ask that paid professionals who get paid a lot of money show up and work, especially if your team sucks. Really, it's not that hard to do when you think about it.
I agree with Jim. I wouldn't give guys time off. I would make – because I don't want to hear the complaint that you're not given enough time to prepare when the season starts. I've always been a big believer with a lot of other guys that I would play my starters more in the preseason, because I need to see a bigger body of work in order to get myself to the level of performance that I need him to get to. And, you know, you're getting paid a lot of money. The practices aren't that strenuous, and
you're not even in pads.
Correct.
I mean, you're only out there, whatever, an hour and a half a day, the most 3 hours.
Yeah, but Jim, you can take your virtual reality glasses and go home. I can honestly say,
I don't think that's true for the Bears, but I just read a lot of stories today about other teams and what they, and I understand the camaraderie side of it and all that stuff, but I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, almost like the players expect it. But the Bears, I think that they've earned it. Fine, they went out there and did a walkthrough. But I'm telling you, these guys get paid a lot of money now. The practice is less. You know it's minimized. You need to maximize every time those guys are in the building. What's wrong with going out and practice to get better? Is there something wrong with that?
I don't think the Bears expect it. Because remember, you're talking about a really young team. So you don't have a lot of veterans on the Bears that have been. I mean, yes, they have Pernell McPhee, Victor Cruz, and guys like that. But, you know, there are a lot of young guys on this team. So at least from when I was up there today, they had their meet. They were at Halas Hall. They were doing whatever they do before they go out to practice. And then they moved everything into the Walter Payton Center today, indoors. So the players have to make the walk. Usually some get in their cars, whatever. They end up in the Walter Payton Center. They're stretching, doing whatever they do, getting ready for the practice. They do their walkthrough, and then John Fox gathered everybody.
But like even during the year, Tom, you know, if you win, you know, a lot of these coaches early in the year, your reward is don't show up on Monday. We'll see you Wednesday.
Victory Monday.
It's like guys expect it. Shut up and go to work. You get paid a lot of money.
Hey,
go
Jim,
to work.
I'll take Victory Mondays this year.
What's your young guy argument? See, I think if you're talking about a team that has a bunch of young players, whether you're inexperienced and young or you're young with the Chicago Bears in your career, you need that. You need that work. You need those extra reps. You need all that time.
I think one of the more interesting things that when I look at these young guys, I don't think, like Jim was saying, that you almost come to expect it in the National Football League that last day of minicamp isn't going to be a real practice. I'm not necessarily sure that the young Bears players expected to have the day off today.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've had a good offseason. They're participating. Everything I said, I don't think I'm not trying to throw the Bears into that category, but I'm sure you guys read some of those stories out there today. I was like, what the hell's going on here? It's like, does anybody want to get better? And the only way you get better, you go out on the field and hone your craft. You're not even in pads. You're going basically half speed to three quarters is what it is. I just don't think that's too much.
You know, too, Jim, say that you're a guy, you're in a competitive position for a position. I want those extra reps.
Absolutely.
I want the guy in front of me to let it be known that, look, man, I'm breathing down your neck. And by September, by the end of August, I'm going to have your position. And so that's the type of atmosphere that you want to create. You want to create that ultra-competitive sense that I don't care how long you've been with the team or who you are, if I have a guy that has as much or more desire than you that wants to, that is just loving the reps that he's getting, hey, man, let me do some reps in front of the special teams coach for him to recognize that I fit on this roster because I can contribute in that third phase, which is equally as important as the other parts of the team.
Totally agree. Totally agree. If I was a player, especially as competitive as the Bears are right now, I'd say let's go full goal right now because I'm going to earn this job today. Last day, I will leave you with a message in your mind, John Fox. That would be my mindset.
Give me an idea of how this quarterback rep thing is going to work once training camp starts, because we talked a couple of weeks ago, and I think, Tom, you mentioned that you talked to Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, and he dealt with this last year with Bradford and Chase Daniel and Carson Wentz. The Bears played them early on in the year last year. How did he split up the reps in training camp leading up to the regular season? Because the Bears are going to have to do something very similar.
Well, I think initially they thought that Bradford was going to be the guy and Carson Wentz was going to learn along the way. But when they saw the performance of Carson Wentz and then all of a sudden now you see value in Bradford with other teams who need him, then, you know, that's when the reps kind of decided itself. The positioning of the quarterback worked out in Doug Peterson's favor. And, you know, that's what you were able to capitalize on, a young guy who's probably the brightest part of his career is ahead of him.
Guys, I know one of the most popular questions I get throughout the offseason is, what are these Bears quarterbacks looking like on the practice field this year? No one knows better than one of the Bears receivers. He's one of the new guys. He came over here from the Pittsburgh Steelers, talking about Marcus Wheaton, who joins us now here on Bears All Access. Marcus, hello, welcome. Thanks for coming on board. So give it to us. You've been out there the entire offseason for the most part, getting the ball thrown your way from these quarterbacks. Can you give us a little snapshot scouting report on Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky, Mark Sanchez, Connor Shaw?
Oh, man, y'all want me to spill the beans.
Well, hey, you played with Big Ben. We want to know what we got, my friend. Come on now.
Good, man. They really look good. I know that's what I'm supposed to say, but they do. You know, they all look good. Connor's a killer. The young boy came in ready to ball, and he's working his butt off. And Mike G. Mike G's holding it down. He's leading the team, and he's making some incredible throws. So, all those guys, I'm ready to play, man. I can't wait to see how it looks when we actually get going.
You know, Marcus, as Bears fans, we always need more speed at the receiver position, and that's one of the qualities you have. But where are you? Are you a slot guy? Are you a wide guy? Where is Marcus Wheaton going to fit into this offense?
That's up to my coaches to decide. Obviously, I'm here to play the game. I'm here to make plays, and wherever they can put me to make that happen, that's where they'll put me. So I don't know, if I don't want to put myself in a box and say I should be here, should be there, you know, so I'm going to leave that up to them. They'll decide and we'll get the job done.
Well, Marcus, Jim Miller here. Welcome to Chicago, and I do a lot of training camps. I remember 2 years ago I'm at Steelers training camp there in Latrobe. I know Todd Haley well. He was a wide receivers coach of the Bears. And I remember before that year in that training camp, Big Ben said, we need Marcus Wheaton to step up this year. And you did. You know, that was your best year, 749 yards, 5 touchdowns. You get in there, you get in the end zone. You know, because to me, he felt the ceiling was extremely high for you. You know, your thoughts, because I think you're only scratching the surface of what you can do. We've seen flashes, but you're capable of more. Just your thoughts on your play, because I believe you feel the same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm out here trying to prove that to the world, you know, and I know what I can do. And I'm trying to show these coaches what I can do so they can believe in me as well. But with the team that we have, the things that they did last year even though it wasn't a good season record wise. It's a lot of talent in that locker room. You know, offensively, up front, in the backfield, on the edges, and it's something that I'm extremely excited about. And I think it'll help bring a lot out of me. You know, I think it's a good fit for me to really show what I can do. You know, coming from Pittsburgh, they had a lot of good talent as well. You know, and I was trying to find my way. So I think coming here as a vet, I can step up and kind of lead the way.
We're talking with new Bears wide receiver Marcus Wheaton, who comes over from Pittsburgh. You talked about how the Bears struggled last season. You're not used to that based on where you came from. And there's a certain work ethic, a certain standard that has been set in Pittsburgh that leads to success. How important is it for you to bring that here so some of the younger guys in the room that you're talking about come out with that same kind of attitude and ultimately ascend on the field?
It's extremely important. Like I said, it's a lot of talent, man. It's just watching the film, it's hard to see that the season ended how it did for them, you know. And I think it's just about knowing how to win. We have the guys to do it. It's just about knowing how to win. Usually, there's a play here or a play there that decides the entire game, man. And I think if we can all get on board and really know how to end games and come out of stadiums on top, then we'll be good to go.
Hey, Marcus, I recently read an article, and it published the fastest guy from every football team, and they had Kevin White as the guy for the Bears. But your track background is so significant and a well-decorated background both through high school and college. Did track turn you into a football player, or did track help you be a better football player?
I think it definitely helped me be a better football player. I only ran track for football, got into it at a young age. My dad kind of pushed me into it, telling me that it'll help me in football, and I gravitated toward it, and I fell in love with it, you know. And from then on, it helped me in football. So it's not my first love, but it definitely helped me out along my journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marcus, as I preface the last question, and you touched on it and referenced it, and it's not just you; it's Mike Glennon. There's a lot of free agents added to this team that it's their time. It's their time and opportunity to shine. And I don't know, do you get the feel? You get the feeling, you know, from Mike Glennon about that? Do you get the feeling from other free agents that this is a great opportunity to really show what you could do to become a star in the NFL?
Absolutely. I was actually just talking to Victor Cruz about it recently. With the things that Mike G is doing, man, you can feel the urgency. You can feel the urgency. I want to say a few weeks back, we came in on a Sunday, the wide receiving group and Mike G, and we did a walkthrough in the locker room, you know, just us guys. So just little things like that. We're doing stuff outside of football, getting together, and Mike is usually coordinating everything. So I can really feel the urgency from him specifically. The guy wants to win games, man, and it's definitely contagious. You know, so we're all feeding off of him, and we'll see how it looks when the fall comes.
Bears receiver Marcus Wheaton with us here on Bears All Access. Mike G, as you call him, Mike Glennon, was talking about how he's going to take a week off here, go back to North Carolina, enjoy the water and all the fun stuff, and then he was going to try and get the group together to continue working out. Can you take us through what this offseason is going to be like? Because even though it's a quote-unquote six-week break, it really isn't a break for you guys if you want to be successful.
Not at all. It's not a break at all. For me, it'll be a couple of days. It's like Mike said, a few days. But it's really about getting ready for the season. This really jumpstart us for the season. You know, we come into camp. You got to be ready for camp. You can't come to camp to get ready for the season. You know, so like Mike said, he's going to have us together again. And that's what he's been doing. You know, that's Mike. He's getting us together outside of what's mandatory to accomplish our desired goal, you know, and that's winning the championship. So things like that, I think, is going to help us tremendously.
What's the challenge for people who haven't played the game but love football? of getting an offense on the same page, because there's so many new parts to this. You have a new quarterback, a brand new receiver room, a lot of young rookies that you're trying to put into the mix. Realistically, how long does it take before you guys can function as one?
I don't have the answer to that. There's so many factors that go into it. Pieces is about moving pieces around and seeing where they fit. New guys, we have to see how they work, where they work best, how they work best. It's a lot that goes into it, man. And there's personalities that you have to manage. You have to, you know, it's a lot that goes into it. So it really depends on the locker room. So I really don't have the answer to that.
Hey, Marcus, when you were in Pittsburgh, was there anybody, a veteran there, that carried any type of message to you that you're going to be a veteran now that's going to carry that message to some of these young guys in Chicago?
Hayward Bay. Me and Darius Hayward Bay, he's been in, I want to say he's going on his ninth year, and he was that guy for us in the locker room. Obviously, we have Antonio Brown, who's performing at an extremely high level, but Hayward Bay been in a little bit longer, and he's that for us. And he sat down with me multiple times talking to me about past years and upcoming years and how to be a vet, really, how to be a pro. And I think he's done a great job for me to get me going.
Marcus, last one for me, and not that Tom and I are going to say, hey, back in our day, we used to go two-a-days and all those type of things. But, hey, man, what's up with all these soft-head coaches? You can't even go the last day of mandatory minicamp. Everybody's playing paintball, seeing a movie, I don't know, getting a massage, whatever you guys are doing. What's wrong with going out and working and get better?
Look, y'all can call it what you call it. I'm not complaining at all. I'm not complaining at all, man. Whatever day you can get off, we'll take it. But obviously, we do have to put the work in, but those mini camps are no joke.
We'll get you out on this, Marcus. You think about the receiving rooms that he's been a part of. You got Antonio Brown, who is, I mean, this guy celebrates like nobody else when he gets in the end zone. Now you have Victor Cruz with the salsa. What do you do when you get into the end zone?
Now you have a little bit more freedom anyways.
I notice. I see we have a little more freedom to act up. So who knows now? I'm usually a conservative guy. I'll get in and depend on how I'm feeling. You know,
is the celebration something that's kind of discussed behind the scenes by you guys? Or is it this regular season is so far off that those topics don't come up?
It depends on who you are. A guy like Antonio Brown, he might practice it a few times. He does it at practice. Antonio does celebrate at practice, so you'll see it a couple times at practice, and you know you're going to see it at the game, you know. But some guys just do whatever comes to them, you know, so it depends on who you are.
All right, so you've been out there. You've seen all these practices with your teammates. When Bears fans come down to Bourbonnais, who's the guy that celebrates the most on this current squad when they get in the end zone?
Oh, man, you're going to Jazz Bellamy.
Oh, yeah. 100%. There you go.
I didn't even have to think about that. You know, Josh, if Josh gets in the end zone, the defense is going to hate it. They will hate it. I promise you they will hate it.
Yeah,
you will know. Everybody out there will know Josh just scored a touchdown.
Good stuff. Hey, Marcus, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Marcus.
New Bears receiver Marcus Wheaton spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. A lot to react to from what we heard. Sounds like he's bringing a little enthusiasm out onto the Bears practice field. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, 312-644-6767. Just visited with new Bears receiver Marcus Wheaton. Man, he's a treat. I like guys that are confident.
Well, you know, you think of Victor Cruz coming from the legacy of the Giants. You think of Marcus Wheaton coming from the legacy of the Pittsburgh Steelers and then coming to a franchise like the Bears. Just the history that those three teams have within the NFL, I think those are the type of guys you want on your roster because you want them to be able to talk about the experiences they've had in their first NFL lives.
And, Jim, he was a guy that was productive. Injuries slowed him down, which is the reason he's here, but he's healthy now. He's been out there practicing. That's a big deal going forward.
And I think they wanted to get bigger at wide receiver. Obviously, Martavis Bryant, who's had his off-the-field issues, but then drafting Sammy Coates out of Auburn. You look at this year, Juju Schuster out of – I'm telling you, don't sleep on that Juju Schuster from USC. That guy's going to be, in my opinion, like a Anquan Boldin in his prime. That is a big physical receiver. So that's the direction they've elected to go to. They wanted more red zone threats, really, is what it is. You know, and then you look at Marcus Wheaton. His speed is there. He's got all the tools to be a great, great player. Todd Haley says it. Big Ben says it. And we'll see. He's got an opportunity for the Bears, and we'll see if he's a player who can shine.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. To the phones we go. Bridgeview, Dylan, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Dylan.
Good, man.
Good. I just had a couple questions, or actually just one question. So, you know how I guess they waived Connor Shaw? Was it earlier this week or last week?
Yeah, but they brought him back.
Right. I'm saying, so they brought him back. So it looks clear that he's the last quarterback on the depth chart. And I guess if Sanchez comes back, do you think that they're going to keep four quarterbacks on the roster? Do you think they're just going to waive him again?
Well, you know, just for me, I mean, I like to see Connor Shaw there because last year when he came to training camp, he was the last guy on the roster, basically. And I think he made the biggest impression on the coaches before he got injured. So, hey, man, Connor Shaw is a guy. Don't count him out because he never counts himself out. Sorry, Jim.
I agree with everything Tom said because I think he's a scrappy player. There is no doubt about that. But I go back to this. I think John Fox wants veteran quarterbacks, and here's the reason why. Not that Mike Glennon has so many stripes on his shirt. He doesn't. He's getting an opportunity, but he's played. He's been around the league 5 years. Mark Sanchez has been around the league even more. He's earned his stripes. He's been, you know, under live bullets. And so I think what I mean by that is if everything's equal, I think Mark Sanchez makes the team, and here's why. Let's say, God forbid, week one, week three, Mike Glennon goes down. Okay, you're not going to throw Mitchell Trubisky into that situation. If they feel Connor Shaw is ready, yeah, then he'll make the team and they'll insert him. But I would think Mark Sanchez has more experience where they'd say, you know, let's lean on a veteran who's kind of been there, done that, not only for the Jets, not only for the Philadelphia Eagles, and then was down there in Dallas last year helping out Dak Prescott. And if Mitchell Trubisky were inserted to the lineup later, really, Mark Sanchez has been in that role before. So for me, and you know what I'm going to say, I think he would rely more on the veteran, which he's done in Carolina with Jake Delhomme, which was what he did in the direction they went in Denver with obviously Peyton Manning, and so that's you know my thoughts on that situation and how it works out. But hey, where is Mark's knee at? You know they may keep four. You know, we don't know. There's a lot of things that need to play out right now.
Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And this week on Inside the Bears, players roam the Bears Den at Brookfield Zoo, surprising visitors. And if you guys saw this on ChicagoBears.com, Tom, I can't imagine that you'd ever do this. It's a new era. You would have. I'll explain it, but you should really watch the show. You'll learn. But the rookies experience Soldier Field for the first time, and Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins shares his passion for the Bears. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. So I don't know if it's because I don't know the exact story, which is why I have to watch it, but I guess the Bears came out of hibernation, so they used real bears to kind of promote that.
Right.
And you had real Chicago Bear players with their jerseys on. And I can't imagine. The 85 crew, I mean, that's a heck of a zoo.
Well, I mean, just let's just hope they have woken up from their winter slumber and they're ready to go and, you know, get to work and stay working throughout the winter.
And did the other segment that they're doing is the one where the rookies last weekend got a chance to see Soldier Field for the first time.
Right.
Do you remember the first time you got to experience Soldier Field? Was it as a fan growing up in Joliet, or was it as a player?
I went to a Bears preseason game. I think it was August 16th, and they were playing a preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. A guy that I grew up with, he was given tickets by his dad, and it was the first time I was ever in Soldier Field. But I was in Soldier Field for high school games and for different events like that. But I think the first time you go there to go in there as a Chicago Bear, that's the memory that sticks in your head, because I think the pressure is so intense. You know, you have family members and friends that are there watching you. You're sitting there fighting for your NFL life, and you know, it's a work atmosphere when you walk in a Soldier Field as a Bear.
For me, I guess I'm more nostalgic. I loved old Soldier Field. I just remember, I think it was my second year when I played in Pittsburgh, we came into Chicago to play the Steelers, or play the Chicago Bears when I was with the Steelers. And just those columns, how it sat, you know, it almost looked like a monument. To me, it was a very intimidating place to come in and play. And not that it's not now, it's just, it's got a different look to it. And obviously you knew of all the history and tradition and all those things, but I just thought old Soldier Field was a very intimidating place to play. That was my first thoughts when I played there for the first time.
You know, the first time going into the Bear Stadium for a preseason game, you sit there with all the other rookies that were in the class with you. Even though I was drafted earlier, went to the USFL, I was still coming back. And a funny story, Jim Morrissey was there, and he was putting on his uniform. And he puts on his uniform. He's got number 51 on. And all of a sudden, in walks the locker room as Dick Butkus, because he's doing the games on radio at that time. And Jim Morrissey went up to him and introduced himself and made reference to the number of that he was going to wear. You know, and you think of not only Bears fans, but fans around the world knew, still know, and have the respect for Dick Butkus. So, you know, it's kind of intimidating when you are in the locker room and you put on the jersey of greatness, and then you got to go out there and, you know, they have high expectations for you to wear that number.
There are high expectations for Leonard Floyd and his future. We had a chance to talk to him this week. Let's find out what's the next step for Leonard Floyd. We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It definitely inspires me to go out this year and play every game. That's the goal, just to go out and play every game so I can produce plays. Just come out and show growth coming into this second year. Just show that I can make more plays than I did last year.
That is the voice of Bears outside linebacker Leonard Floyd. 7 sacks in year one in limited action because of injuries. And one of his big goals this year is to be able to stay on the field for 16 full games. And it's a two-pronged approach. One is to make sure that he's in the right kind of shape. And he says he's a lot heavier now than he was a year ago at this time, eating right, working out, doing the things you have to do to get bigger. And then the second is being fundamentally right. So he's been working with Vic Fangio on hitting the sled machine using his hands and making sure his hat is in the right spot.
Right.
When you hear football players say that, Tom, what does it mean?
Well, you know, Leonard Floyd was very fortunate because he had a really good outside linebackers coach last year in Clint Hurt. As he moved on, I think Vic Fangio stepped up to the plate, because there's a lot more pressure on you when your defensive coordinator is your position coach specifically. So if you watch him go through their paces in mini camp and OTAs, it is about the proper hand placement, similar to an offensive lineman. Offensive lineman, we know the snap count. We attack with our hands first and try to get in control of the defense. But if you get a defender that has the proper body position and he can get his hands to an offensive player before that offensive player, that defensive player is in charge. And I think it is smart for Leonard Floyd to keep his head up, to know the flow of the play that's unfolding in front of him, but also being able to use the length of his arms to get into a tight end, into an offensive tackle, and disengage, because that's when you engage his feet. Leonard Floyd has such quick feet that if he gets any type of offensive lineman off balance, offensive blocker off balance, he's going to win the battle. And the thing about it is, it's not this big, extreme, over-exaggerated punch that you see. It's a 6-inch punch that you need from a football player to get the opponent off balance.
And Jim, it's crucial when you're playing football. I know you coach a lot of young kids and teach them the game, to look at what you're hitting.
Yeah, I think a lot of things for Leonard Floyd is somewhat what Tom touched on there, is playing in control. You know, he is so fast, and that's you know, the trait the Bears drafted. He's a quick twitch, extremely fast individual. But the game of football, as fast and as crazy as it looks, is played under control, just as Tom mentioned. You know, Tom and his hand placement controls the defender against him with his hand placement and how he pushes him. A quarterback controls the safeties with his eyes so he doesn't get the receiver blown up. You know, any defender going to tackle a running back or a receiver has to break down and do the fundamentals under control. If you just go in there haphazardly, you're going to get hurt. That's just my opinion. The game, as crazy as it looks to fans out there, the game is played under control in basically every position that you play in. And I think he needs to learn that, because at times I think he gets flying around, and that's great to say, hey, fly around and make things happen. That's true. You do want that to happen, but you have to do it under control. As fast as it may seem to the fans, Leonard Floyd has the ability with his athleticism to play under control, and he needs to learn that.
And Tom, when you talk about the outside linebackers on this team, it might be the biggest position of strength on the entire football club between Leonard Floyd, Pernell McPhee, Willie Young, Lamar Houston, Sam Acho. If these guys can stay healthy, and they all bring something else to the table.
Right, but there's a lot of similarities between Willie Young and Leonard Floyd. And I think if you want to learn by example from a player in front of you, Leonard Floyd is very fortunate to learn, like I said, last year from Clint Hurt, this year from Vic Fangio, and from Willie Young being in a stance in front of him and Leonard Floyd learning from him. And then you got to learn that the desire and the commitment from a guy like Pernell McPhee. And Willie Young has that equal commitment to the game, but I'm telling you, he better soak in all this information he has an opportunity to see on an everyday basis in front of him.
Because if that front seven stays healthy, they can wreak havoc. And I think make life a lot easier for the defense.
Right. I mean, you know, Akeem Hicks, if he has another year like he has, and Eddie Goldman is on the field every play, Jonathan Bullard and Mitch Unrein have healthy seasons. Right. That front wall can do a lot. Again, it's about Jarrell Freeman and then who plays next to Jarrell Freeman.
Let's take a timeout. When we come back, you heard Marcus Wheaton earlier in the show say that the offense, they're going to be getting together to work on some things during this break before the start of training camp, and Mike G is the man making it happen. Well, we've got a quarterback on our team too, and Jim Miller will explain.
Jimmy G?
Yeah.
Jimmy M?
Jimmy M? I like Jimmy G too. That right. Sounds good. Well,
they're all G.
Yeah. Jimmy M, who is a G, will come up next and tell us what he would do if he's Mike Glennon throughout this six-week period to help get the Bears ready to fire on all cylinders offensively when camp begins. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer's here, so is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sedman. The Bears wrapped up the offseason program today. They got a six-week break before the start of training camp in late July in Bourbonnais, and earlier in the show, we had Marcus Wheaton, one of the new Bears receivers, on with us, and he was talking about how Mike Glennon is kind of going to be the point man for this during this six-week break, and at one point bringing all the offensive players together to kind of have workouts to make sure that everyone's on the same page and build the chemistry and camaraderie that you need. Jim, you've been through this as a QB. Do those sessions really transfer over once the season starts?
I know they did for me and Marty Booker. Marty Booker showed up. We threw on Tuesdays and Thursdays every week. 9 a.m., Marty, let's meet at the facility. There he was. Guy went to a Pro Bowl, 106 receptions. I knew every nuance of what that player was going to do, every break, every coverage, how he was going to read it, double coverage, sometimes triple coverage. I know Marty's coming down with this. I know what he's going to do to be able to make it happen. Trust me, it helps tremendously. And if I'm Mike Glennon, I'm looking at those first eight games of the season, it's a B, and it starts with a capital. Falcons, Super Bowl runner-up. Buccaneers, a team on the come. Steelers, we know what they represent in the AFC. Green Bay Packers, Vikings defense is no joke. At the Ravens, Panthers, Saints. All Mike Glennon has to do is focus on the Falcons and let everybody know on that team, I am here to play. They already know it, and you could hear it in Marcus Wheaton's voice, that guy is ready. And he's only the next 6 weeks is going to bone up even more. He should be working harder right now, right before training camp is my take on Mike Glennon. He knows it's his time. He needs to shine, and he needs to prove it, and it starts week one against the Atlanta Falcons.
You know, that's the one thing, another thing about Jim, about the modern-day NFL. I wish more guys were committed to staying around their facility. They have the most beautiful facility up there in Lake Forest, where if these guys would stay around and work maybe once or twice a week, they could expedite the whole learning process of this offense. And, you know, I see these guys go off in these other different directions, and they go out and they pay these personal trainers. I just wish that they would use the facility that is offered to them and they would stay around, because I do think it would help. And I do like that Mike Glennon is initiating this whole process of getting these guys together, but it would be nice if they would just stay at home.
Well, they are going to come back to Lake Forest. I think that's the great thing, just listening to Mike Glennon talk this week.
It's not only the quarterbacks and the receivers. It's every position, yep, every guy that's here fighting for an opportunity. You stay around here, you develop that camaraderie, because that's where the camaraderies develop. A lot of time it's in the weight room. It's around that type of work atmosphere, because the work that's done on the field, the position coaches are in control. When you have this downtime and you get to work out together, that's when the players are in control.
You know, Mitchell Trubisky was talking about this. Kyle Long has been the point man of the off-the-field stuff, getting guys together to build camaraderie, because there are so many new personalities inside that locker room. They were watching all the NBA playoff games together at Kyle Long's place, and Trubisky said something that kind of resonated with me, that, you know, if you learn to like one another off the field, then it's a brotherhood that gets built, and then you really fight on the field with
I like you go to concerts, and I like you go to parties and have fun in that social aspect, but I like there when there's a guy in the weight room. I remember, and I hate to tell you the story, but the first time in my life I was ever going to bench 500 pounds, it was because of the encouragement of Steve McMichael that got behind me that was the reason I even attempted it. So it is those types of things. I'm not looking for the offensive lineman next to me. It's about this defensive back, this defensive lineman that you develop that friendship with.
But when you have those young guys, Jim, in a social setting, don't you learn by talking to them? It's a good peer pressure.
Yeah, I think it's great to get to know your coworker. I really do. I think it does help. But I come back to this. You don't have to like one another to be able to work with one another. Shut up and play football and do your job. That's really what it's about. That's what you're paid to do. Do your job. We hear it every year out of New England, right? Bill Belichick, do your job. It's a poster. Do your job.
And if you do your job right, you get a ring with 283 diamonds in it. Because
that's what we're all shooting for.
That's what Bob Kraft gave the Patriots.
That's why you play the game.
Yeah, they overcame a 28-3 deficit, so he gave him 283 diamonds on their championship ring. Man, we'll do it again next Wednesday at 6 o'clock right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaveman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.